This episode is brought to you by Square. If you run a restaurant or business, Square has the tools to help you stay connected to customers, shift your business, and navigate this uniquely challenging time. Learn more at square.com/go/speakeasy.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Yes.
Dude.
What's going on? How was your Memorial Day weekend? Same old, just hanging out. You hung out in your closet for Memorial Day.
I've just been here in the chat the entire time. No, I took a bike ride up to Queens. Actually, went to the Socrates Sculpture Garden, which is a thing that I never knew existed. Yeah, it's really beautiful. It's like it's just kind of on the East River there, sort of right across from the northmost tip of Roosevelt Island. Some art, some people chilling out. There's a little boat landing there where people can put out kayaks. It was one of those days that you're out in the sunshine. I was with my girlfriend. You see couples hanging out on picnic blankets or whatever, and you're kind of like, oh, it's almost feels normal. This almost feels like a normal summer's day off. It was nice. You need those every now and again to remind you what we're working to get back to, you know?
Totally. Yeah. How about you, Souther?
I did the complete opposite of that. I didn't leave my house. it was beautiful outside, and I had all the windows open, but kind of just stayed in my place. Been grappling with a little bit of my mental demons. I posted out some pretty... heavy stuff on Facebook to let people know what's going on with me, but otherwise kind of just been staying at home and laying low. Needed a few days to kind of like turn off. I hear you went camping though with a pool.
Well, you never turn off, man. I did go camping. I went camping on a cannabis farm, and that's not code for anything. That's what I did.
My friends own a cannabis business.
Oh man, I'm kind of always camping on a cannabis farm these days. Yesterday went to cannabis farm. Monday went to my friend and bandmate's place, and he's got a pool. Spent a lot of time around pools this weekend. I didn't really think that was going to happen, but it's kind of not so much in them, my feet in them, and then my skin out exposed to the sun so I can maintain my medium pinkish hue, my signature color. Like Greg was saying, it's kind of like doing anything that kind of makes things feel like normal is, very important right now. But equally and different for you, it's like you're always on. So like for you to take a break is probably one of the best things you could have done.
I absolutely needed it. That's for sure.
Different kind of self-care,
Well, I like to point out that there's, and it was only pointed out to me maybe 2 years ago, there's a real fine line between self-care and self-soothing, right? So the easy difference is self-care is like diet and exercise. Self-soothing is like sitting on the couch eating a pint of ice cream. You gotta watch out for the balance between the two. So I definitely was doing more self soothing for the past 2 days than self care, but now I'm kind of getting myself back into back into the light of day.
Right on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, both are kind of important, though,
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You can't beat yourself up for doing too much or too little of either one. But it is good to know the difference.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
If you need a little self soothing, I know a farm you can go to. I hear it's very relaxing.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it's like, those couple days when you get back from your camping trip and you ate way too many mushrooms and, you just, need those days to, sit and do nothing, and, recharge. You can't feel the guilt, You got to realize that it all balances out in the end. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to stop talking about drugs
That's the cost of entry. Let's jump into the show.
Let's talk about whiskey now.
So,
I'm excited today because, like, not only did I get to hang out with you guys on the radio, and you know we've been friends for quite some time now, but our guest today is a buddy of mine that I met some years ago. I don't want to say exactly how many. I don't think it was too many. I'm not trying to date myself. My birthday's coming up, but whatever. We'll talk about that some other time. But we hit it off immediately. We're definitely cut from the same cloth. So many connections and whiskey and music and just general weird lifestyle choices with crazy motorcycles and cars and stuff. But we got a lot to talk about today. So we've got Rob Dietrich in the studio, the virtual studio today. He is the master distiller and master blender for Blackened Whiskey, which is Metallica's whiskey. And I'm awfully close to HQ right now for Metallica. I live in San Rafael, and that's where their offices are and their studio. Right, Rob?
Yeah. Yeah, it's right around the corner. It's good to hear your voice, even though, I'm not sure if I'll get a chance to see you as much as I generally run into you at least 3 or 4 times a year.
Exactly.
Good to see everybody. Good to talk to everyone. Yeah, man, you're in paradise down there. That's a cool little part of California, San Rafael.
Yeah, Marin County, all the way.
Yeah,
where it happens. Yeah, man. Yeah, so you're in Colorado right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in Denver. I've been based in Denver. When I was the master distiller for Stranahan's for 12 years. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the master distiller the entire time, but I was with them for about 12 years. And Colorado is my home. Yeah, that's where I grew up. I've lived all over, but I'm very fortunate that with my current position working, as the distiller blender for Blackened, I can stay in Denver, which is pretty nice. Our production's up in Vermont. Yeah. The band's based in California, and they kind of all live all over the place, so it kind of works out great.
So work from home is no real change for you right now?
No. Yeah, even when I was on the road, I was on the road a lot for the brand, representing the brand. Same thing with Stranahan's. But I always maintained and still do a lab in my office. So I've got I've got my stills and my graduated cylinders and just all my little accoutrement for blending whiskey. And so I'll get samples sent out to me from Vermont, and I'll do all my blending here, and then I'll send back the results to Vermont. And I was getting out to the production facility about once a month when things were different. It's nice actually to spend a little time at home, which I just wasn't expecting to at all. This year I was I was literally going to be gone every week in a different state. From March all the way through June or July. So it's kind of nice actually being at home. I actually have a garden.
Cool.
Which is nice.
It's interesting to see how different people are adjusting to these times, like the way that business models are changing, the way like people can kind of realize how much they can get done from the privacy of their own home. I certainly felt it. I was talking with our buddy, Chaim Dowerman, who owns the Up and Up in New York City. We both did a virtual guest bartending shift at Jay Borowski in Shanghai. Which was really interesting. It was a video guest bartending shift. And really what it was more about like the kind of like the presentation of the cocktails. They were making them. We weren't making them. We were just like, the guests could like ask questions and we could talk about it and kind of essentially kind of like give them the rundown of like the vibe of our bars and the cocktails and the ideas that kind of spawn them. And it's just, I talked with Chaim about it for a little while before and after. And, it's just kind of like realizing how to get things done in just a different way these days. And so it's been interesting to see, like we all had this kind of like fear that things were just going to be kind of like shut down, but like we're just figuring out different ways of doing it. And I think it's like, you have always kind of like been on the road, and in a way that's also essentially remote work in a way. I mean, like,
right.
You know, you're still getting stuff, even when you're away, you're still getting stuff done back at home. And when you're at home, you're getting stuff done out on the road, essentially.
Exactly. I'm still fielding production calls and still making production decisions while I'm out on the road. So it's something I've always been used to anyway, just wearing a lot of hats. When we started Stranahan's, there was just three of us, and we just did everything. You know, you just had to switch your hat and, you know, do the next job. So I feel like that just was a natural thing. And, I'm used to being kind of a remotely working anyway. So honestly, this is the nice part about this is I get to actually, now I can do it, barefoot and sitting at home.
I don't think that's OSHA compliant, but,
Yeah, I wear the plastic booties around my my bare feet when I do the blending, of course.
Around your Birkenstocks. Right. your background is insane. You've been on tour a bunch with a lot of different musical acts. You worked with Bill Graham. When we first met, you were telling me about all these different endeavors that you had experienced, and I was like, oh shit, man. Well, I used to be on tour with Ben. You're like, yeah, me too. And I was like, I like classic cars and motorcycles. You're like, me too. And I was like, oh, I'm from Oklahoma. And you're like, oh shit, I was stationed in Oklahoma you were in the military. It's like, man, there's a lot of similarities here. But like, you've been kind of like a nomadic. Yeah, you've been like kind of a nomadic dude anyway, like for like your life, and like to be able to like make, like, there's kind of no better person suited for times like this than you. You know, like, I was thinking about this earlier before we got on the air, and it's like, you've kind of, like, life has prepared you for a moment like this, you know, and it's
kind of perfect. I mean, I would agree, man. You know, like, it's been a, I remember there was a point in my life where I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, you know, I wish I could just get paid for, just being me. For just do what I do, and that way, and it's kind of turned out to that way. You know, it's like okay, well, I like to make whiskey, drink whiskey, talk about whiskey, and cars and motorcycles and adventure and travel, and it just has all really fine tuned down into this beautiful little extraordinary path where all these worlds are just kind of meshing together and in a really pretty extraordinary way. So I couldn't be happier. I mean, honestly, it's pretty exciting to, in kind of a full circle, kind of when you referenced my music background, it was, music production and, rigging. You know, my first show that I worked was, the Tibetan Freedom Concert in Golden Gate Park in '96 for Bill Graham Presents. And I just happened to be out there, on a mountain biking road trip from Oregon. I was living in a school bus up in the woods, up in Oregon, working as a carpenter and learning how to surf. And my buddies and I just took a little road trip down to San Francisco, thought we'd just go down there for the summer and see what could happen. And, just met the right person at the right time. And, I was able to, I had my climbing gear with me because, my military background, I was in the 10th Mountain Division, so we were mountaineering troops. So I always have my climbing gear because I was just a monkey back then. I would just climb anything. I used to have a bad habit of getting drunk and climbing things, but I haven't done that in like a week or so.
That you remember. So,
but So they just said, oh, you got a climbing gear? You know how to climb? Okay, you're a rigger. So, I mean, that's how I started in the music business, was rigging steel. And then I just started managing stages, going on tours. And now it's this full circle thing where I'm able to still get to experience that music side that I'm so passionate about and the whiskey making side. It's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, did your former career as doing all that stuff, rigging, et cetera, did that get you the contacts to be in touch with Metallica, the band, and create this whiskey?
It certainly didn't hurt. After meeting the band's managers, we knew a lot of the same people, especially being in California. So you know, that just helps solidify, like, yeah, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, and this is, you know, the right fit for all of us, you know, for everyone. So I think it definitely helped. You know, I did actually work Metallica headlined Lollapalooza in 96. And yep. I think that was the same year they cut their hair too. Where you
it was
know,
the Load album, right?
I think the Load album.
Yeah, I remember that. That was like a big deal.
Yeah, so I got to push boxes.
I feel like Eddie Van Halen also cut his hair at that time.
Oh, that's right. It was starting to become this thing, and everybody was getting pissed off about that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. That was when I did my interview, my final interview for this job, I'd interviewed with the CEO and I'd interviewed with the sales director. And then the final interview, they had me come out to California and San Rafael and interview with the band at their HQ, which is their recording studio. And so it was weird because I hadn't done a job interview in like 15 years. You know, I was like, oh yeah, I'm really rusty at this. And not to mention, I'm, you know, also meeting one of my favorite all time, you know, bands. And it was, you know, and I brought that up to James Hetfield when, you know, I said, hey, you know, I actually worked one of your shows as a stagehand, you know, just pushing boxes. And I said, yeah, so you cut your hair. And he's like, yeah, everybody hated us for that. He was, you know, they've run their, you know, their ups and downs, man. It's just extraordinary how they are still filling 75,000, you know, arena seats. And the energy is still there. I mean, it's impressive. It's really impressive.
Yeah, man. I was lucky enough that you invited me to one of the two S&M shows in San Francisco at the new Chase Center. It was actually the first night that it was the first event, I think, right?
Yes. Yeah. The first show ever there. Yeah.
And it was incredible. It was so for our listeners, it was the 20th anniversary of the S&M album, which was Metallica with the San Francisco Orchestra,
or Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra.
And so they did a 20th anniversary concert. They did two nights, and I was actually wearing my T-shirt the other day from that show.
Nice.
It was incredible. We got to hang out with the whole Blackened crew and go to the show. Drink a lot of whiskey that night and saw one of the most incredible rock and roll concerts I've ever seen in my entire life. And
it was incredible.
In all great company.
Absolutely, cool. Man. That was a fun night. Very, very epic. And just extraordinary to see these two kind of genres of music come together. And then of course, you know, there's whiskey that kind of lubricates the whole thing.
A solid time for us to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. So stay tuned to the Speakeasy with, we're talking today with Rob Dietrich of Blackened Whiskey.
This episode is brought to you by Square. We all know that this is an incredibly challenging time for our friends running restaurants and small food businesses. With social distancing in place, people are staying home and eating in, and restaurants have had to pivot to pickup and delivery only. HRN would usually be recording our podcast from our studio inside Roberta's, but since they've had to close their dining room, they've ramped up their frozen pizza production, set up a wine and grocery shop, and seen their delivery orders skyrocket. Like Roberta's, many restaurants have been changing offerings day by day as they figure out how to best serve their customers. If you run a restaurant or a small business, Square has the tools to help you adapt. One of these tools is the Square Online Store. It lets you set up a free online ordering page with curbside pickup and local delivery so you can keep customers safe. You can deliver orders yourself or integrate with delivery partners. Its order hub lets you manage all your incoming orders in one place, no matter which delivery partners you choose to use. Square has all the tools to help you stay connected to customers no matter where they are. See everything that's available by visiting square.com/go/speakeasy.
And we're back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. And in the virtual studio today, we got my buddy Rob Dietrich from Blackened Whiskey.
What's going on?
We were talking a little bit before the break about the fun times we had at the Metallica concert and the S&M show. And talking a little bit about Rob's background, let's talk about this whiskey, man. It was it hit the market just a few years ago. Really awesome collaboration between Dave Pickerel and the band Metallica, and you are keeping that dream alive, as it were.
Yeah, you guys employ a pretty unique technique that you use to sort of enhance the whiskey, right? I want to talk all about it. Let's hear about it.
Yeah. This is where it's fun, you know, kind of going down the rabbit hole of making whiskey. There's so many ways to make whiskey. And, you know, Dave is a legendary craft distiller. Truly just, you know, talented, had his fingers in so many projects, so many brands out there that Dave has touched in some way. And
a lot of hats.
Yeah. You know, and it's, well, and what's crazy is that, you know, that, you know, when I'd heard about this project when I was still at Stranahan's, there's a friend of mine who is friends with James Hetfield. James lives in Colorado, and this mutual friend of ours had contacted me and said, "Hey, you know, Metallica's thinking about making this whiskey, and they've got this guy Dave Pickerel. You know anything about him?" I was like, "Oh, well, then they're in good hands. I mean, they're in great, the best of hands. They, you know, so they've chosen wisely." And, you know, so they, so Dave had this idea, you know, he has all these great relationships with distilleries all over the country and all over the world. So he was able to go and cherry pick and hand select, all these incredible whiskeys, all these whiskeys that could stand uniquely and independently on their own, and take these whiskeys and blend them together to create something phenomenal. And that's where I feel like there's a magic there. There's magic to blending, and I've had a lot of fun with that in the past with some projects I did at Stranahan's.
Oh, it's mixology on the grand scale.
Yes, exactly. Because you're making it on a smaller scale, but you also have to think about what that's going to do. You know, literally in hundreds of gallons. You know, like that's, you know, when you talk about pre-batch, this is a serious pre-batch.
Right. Seriously.
So he had whiskey from Tennessee. We've got bourbon from Kentucky, bourbon from Indiana, rye from Indiana. We've got Canadian rye, and all this is average of 8 years aged in white American oak. And then, you know, and I'm a big fan of cask finishing. You know, this is where Dave, you know, wanted to apply another, you know, flavor profile and take that blended whiskey and cask finish it in Spanish brandy barrels, which he called black brandy barrels. And for me, that's, you know, like that's where I, you know, really kind of got a name for myself in this industry, was making a specialty release at Stranahan's called Snowflake, where I would take, you know, different cask finishes and blend them together. So it was really kind of, it was really cool to see that they were doing that. Well, then Dave wanted to take it another step further, you know, and this is where I love about innovation and technology, is that we can take, you know, age old techniques that we apply to distilling and fermenting and barrel aging that have been around for hundreds of years. And now we can apply, you know, a new innovation of a science to the process. And Dave had this idea. This is something that he got back when he was a cadet in West Point. And he had become friends with the caretaker for the giant pipe organ at the cathedral there. Apparently it is the largest pipe organ in North America. And so it's a very, you know, it's a monstrous thing. And the guy showed him this note that if you played it, it would violently shake the building so aggressively that the guy was afraid to play it for very long for fear of literally bringing the whole building down on top of them. And that's something that's
new meaning to bring the house down.
Right. Yeah. Bringing down the house. Exactly. And you know, that was something that always stuck with Dave, that, you know, maybe we can apply that somehow in the aging process or, you know, somewhere in there, we can see if this could even have an effect. And that's, you know, that was the first question I asked when I came on board was, you know, I want to know the science behind this. I want to see, you know, cause I'm a whiskey nerd. I want to know what's going on. I want to hear what's happening and see what's happening. And what he had done is he had taken the whiskey that had been cask finished, but not sonically enhanced. And that's, and when I say sonically enhanced, what he did was he applied He went to Meyer Sound, which is the sound company that builds all the touring sound equipment for Metallica and many other bands as well. And they also work with Lucasfilms, and they're just a phenomenal company. And he had them create a device that could play music at a very low frequency, which would in turn vibrate the barrel so vigorously that the whiskey would move in and out of the wood at a very rapid pace. And this was just the theory, you know, in the beginning. And so once he applied this process, he took a sample of a barrel that he did not do the sonic enhancement to, and then he took a sample from the barrel that he did do the sonic enhancement to, sent them both off to a lab. And I've seen the reports. It's mind blowing. It's phenomenal to see how the different markers of flavor profiles that you're looking for in a barrel, every single one of those markers were elevated for the sonic enhanced barrel. So which means that whiskey had been pushing in and out of the wood, and had actually picked up a lot more of the elements of the flavors from the wood, at a shorter period of time. So we're not trying to replace aging, you know, we're not trying to replace aging. We're not trying to replace aging. We are trying to ensure that, you know, we're just trying these different methods. So what we call it is a sonic enhancement, which we've actually trademarked the process and have dubbed it it's called Black Noise. Applying this process, so it's really pretty exciting, just to see this new technology applied to old styles of barrel finishing. And you know, and I feel like this is just scratching the surface. You know, we're there's a number of ways we could kind of go with this, I feel.
Sure. So what is the noise that you're playing?
Well, you know, the easy guess is, and you probably all guessed it, it's definitely Metallica music. So,
yeah, that's what I wanted to hear. That's
awesome. Exactly. Well, you know, what's cool about it, and this is where the band really gets to be kind of, you know, this is where they get their fingerprints on the daily process or on the production process. So each batch is numbered, and we started with batch 81, which is the year that the band formed, was in 1981. So that was their very first batch, was 81. And the entire band all selected a playlist of Metallica songs to play to batch 81. And from that point, each individual band member takes turns creating the playlist for each subsequent batch. So, you know, starting with Hetfield and then Lars and then Kirk Hammett and then Robert Trujillo. And then they just rotate that. So it's really fun because people, they'll buy a couple of different batches and taste them side by side. And, like Robert Trujillo likes to pick out bass heavy, bass forward playlists. So people say, oh, I was like Robert Trujillo's playlist or his whiskey. Kirk loves his solos. So, he's picking playlists that have a lot of these solos. So each batch is a little different.
Running the risk of sounding like even more hippie than I did at the top of this show. Like you're tasting sounds, man.
Yeah. Not do only you see the music, you can feel the music. You can taste it.
Do you have some empirical data? Like, when you compare each different playlist batch to at the lab, do you get different spikes and different different cogeners and tannins and whatnot?
We haven't sent every single batch out to the lab as of yet, and that's something that that I hope to get into and really start creating trackable data on what is making things different, what's changing that flavor profile. Is it more bass or is it less bass? Bass, as we all know, you see the cars going by,
more cowbell,
the windows. Yeah, exactly. They're just rattling. but the cool thing about this is you can actually go on blackandwhiskey.com, blackandamericanwhiskey.com, and you can, it'll say the batches, and you can go to the batches and you'll look at batch 97 and it'll say Robert Trujillo, and it'll have a list of the songs that he picked for the playlist, which we play to the music over a period of 10 to 14 weeks while we're cast finishing. But the cool thing is that there's a little Spotify symbol right there that you can take a photo of it with your phone, and download that into your Spotify, and it will actually populate that playlist for that batch. So you can listen to the exact playlist that he picked while you're sitting
on your that's incredible.
It's cool. It's fun. I love nerding out on the technology of it.
So you're coming up on batch 100. How large are these batches, and what, if anything special, are you doing with batch 100?
The batches have varied, as we've grown and as we've increased, there's been a few spikes, when they first released it, there was a lot of interest. You know, Metallica fans are very loyal, and they have such a huge international fan base. There was so much excitement about the whiskey. And then, of course, Dave unfortunately passed away in November of 2018 at an event I was at. I was at the Whiskey Fest in San Francisco, and that was a huge shock to the community. Of course, we're all very close knit. We all know each other. We all work together in some capacity. So it was very sad, but he also, I feel like he died with his boots on. He was doing what he loved to do the best,
absolutely.
So there was a spike in sales there. So, we increased our production there. And then I came on in May of 2019. So just about over a year now, which has been a wild year.
I remember when you were telling me about it, right as it was happening, and, explaining to me the process of the whiskey and the blending and the finishing and everything. I was like, God damn, man, this is like the perfect job for you. Like, if anyone's going to take over for this whiskey, for Dave, for Black End American Whiskey, it's like, you're the perfect person for it. So
that's very kind, man. Thank you.
It's been really amazing, seeing your growth in this and this brand and this whiskey, and kind of seeing what you're doing. You got to pick out the music for the batch 100, right?
Yes, that was what was really phenomenal. Each member of the band has been picking out all the playlists, and they got together and okay, batch 100 is a big deal. Let's do something cool. And then the band all decided, hey, let's let Rob pick out the playlist for this. And which I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's really exciting. And then, as they started thinking about it, they're like, well, not only will we, not only should we have them pick out the playlist, let's make that playlist into a vinyl record. Let's make it into a box set, a vinyl record with the batch 100 release. So they asked me to send 12 songs, which they sent to Lars, and Lars was going to curate it down to, he was going to arrange the music down to 6 songs and just one record, 3 songs per side. And he liked the songs that I picked so much that he didn't want to get rid of any of them. And he said, no, screw it. We're going to do a 2 record release. So it's a two vinyl record release, the batch bottle, batch 100 bottle. And then our first issue of the Blackened magazine, Blackened zine, inside the box set.
I was blown away.
I know. I was like, what? I get to help make a Metallica record.
This is incredible. I mean, your entire career seems like it teed you up for this.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. It really, I've been on cloud 9. It's been pretty exciting. And we just launched, on the 18th, we just released, batch 100. It's on e-commerce only, so we're only selling it online. You're not going to see it in stores unless somebody buys it online and puts it in their store, which probably isn't legal. But the box set is phenomenal. The Sweet Amber team, our Blackened whiskey team, really just, we have some great creative people that really put the box together. The just the visual, the feel of it, the vinyl records themselves have. The images of the band, myself, and Dave Pickerel printed on them.
Jesus.
Yeah, they're picture discs.
Yeah, it's a picture disc, exactly. So they're both picture discs. I unboxed mine on the day we released, on the 18th, and then immediately I've got a vinyl record collection, and I couldn't wait to just stick that thing on, and crank up the knob. And it was so much fun just to be able to blast, because I spent I went down the rabbit hole, like a Metallica rabbit hole, for probably 3 or 4 days, digging through all the archives of their music. And I selected, you know, things from, you know, live in Seattle, 1989, and live in Mexico City, you know, 91, you know, just different, just the, where the audience was just as much of a participation and feel as the band was, you know, just the way the audience was reacting, It was phenomenal, and it felt like it really had to be in there.
Yeah,
and,
there's something that's really it's important to say that, you know, like I always say that a bar is only as good as the people who are in it, and it's the same way with the show. You know, it's like it's not just about absolutely. You know the band and the music. It's about like it's an overall experience, right?
Agreed. And you could tell that the audience is inspired by the music that's coming out, so they're going nuts, and then the band is like, wow, these guys are nuts, we're gonna play even harder and
right crazier, they feed off each other's energy.
It's so cool,
and that's a very inclusive way to add the audience, you know, back into this whole system with this box set coming out. How does one get a hold of the box set?
So you can get it, you can go to blackandamericanwhiskey.com, and that can direct you to a variety of e-commerce, but there's a place called Cask Cartel. There's also Spirited Gifts. And they all carry. If you purchase it now, it's actually you're doing a pre-purchase, and that I don't think they're not sending anything out until June. So, I mean, we're close to the end of May anyway, but so I think, you know, they're right now it's just the pre-sale, and you get your sets, and it's only, you know, it's $150, which I feel is incredibly reasonable for a limited release record set
with your picture on it.
Which is cool. I know. I was like, wow. I know. It's wild. It's pretty wild. I mean,
it's incredible.
I'm still just blown away by the whole thing.
Well, it's clear that these dudes are awesome. Otherwise, their band wouldn't have stayed together nor been as popular and long-lasting as they are. And speaking of awesome things that they do, for some relief during the COVID crisis, you guys did a bit of charity in April. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and we also extended that to May.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that. Okay, great.
Yeah, so the band has a charity called All Within My Hands Foundation, and they support lower income communities, and they do a day of service every year in support of that as well. But this year they have donated to several different charities $350,000, some of which have gone to the United States Bartenders Guild. We've been working on these programs to support the USBG, and for I think it's this week, which we're getting close to the end of, this week all sales from Black and merch go to the United States Bartenders Guild fund, and so they've also got stagehands. They've got a stagehands charity that helping stagehands who are out of work right now because no one is touring. You know,
it's probably going to be out of work for a long time. Like shows aren't coming back for a while.
Right. And as a stagehand, you know, former stagehand, I worked independently. I didn't, you know, I'd work for this house or that house or this tour. I'd take this place. And so I mean, if there's nothing going on, there's no backup for these guys. So the band has been very generous in donating some funds to the stagehand, stagehand workers fund as well. And Feed America, that's another fund that they've been adding the charity to. So all of April, we extended that to May. So it's pretty exciting just to see what they're doing for the community, what they're doing during this time, to just be able to help people survive. You know, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to use the strength that you have to generate that attention towards these worthy causes. You know, I'm really happy to hear that they're doing that stuff. So all merch can be purchased on your website.
Blackandwhiskey.com or Metallica.com. There's a lot of black merch on that too as well.
Yeah.
Black and American whiskey.
Black and American whiskey.
Black and American whiskey, indeed. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, man, that's pretty fascinating. I'm really excited for you that you get to be on an album of on a double album of Metallica along with Dave Pickrell. Like this is like you can't even make these kind of dreams up. Like, you know, this is like having a dream within a dream.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like this job is perfect for Rob, man.
Yeah. No, it's incredible and such an honor. And I got to be honest, I feel so humbled by the whole thing. It's just really amazing how well the band has embraced me into the Metallica family and how we, you know, still continue to, you know, to honor Dave's legacy. And there is a song on the box set that I did dedicate to Dave, which is last year, 2019. They recorded a song for the All Within My Hands Foundation. They did a live album, and they did an acoustic version of Unforgiven, and James Hetfield dedicated it to Dave, you know, on that song. And when I found that, I was like, oh my God, this is treasure. This is perfect. This is the perfect thing, because I was trying to find the right song to dedicate to Dave, and that couldn't work out better.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing. Great song as well.
Yeah.
Jeez,
man, Rob, really great. Really great having you on. And this is some fascinating stuff to dig into. And I'm, you know, definitely fascinated by sonic enhancement, black noise. That's very cool. And you know, I have blackened American whiskey on my bar, Honeybees. And whenever we get back up and on our feet again, I'll be glad to raise a glass to you and with you, hopefully.
Excellent. I look forward to that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, I feel like the time slots that we have for this show are, you know, some of our guests, it's just not long enough. And Rob's definitely one of those people, you know, like,
like it just means you got to be back on again, Rob.
Yeah, I have to come back again. You know, the first time I was on this show with Damon in Brooklyn, you know, we had, you know, beers, you know, cracked open between our legs and whiskey was flowing.
Pizza, so I'm sure. Yeah, the good old days.
Right. So, you know, I think we'll just have to get together for a nice round of sipping, drinking, and talking all things fun.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I think we can do that sooner than I'm optimistic. You know, like I know that like technically there's you know, we've got to take care of each other and make sure that, you know, we're socially distancing and doing all the stuff, but I'm pretty optimistic that we're going to be able to share some drinks in person soon, sooner than we think. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah,
fingers crossed, man.
Yeah.
I agree. A quick sidebar here. And this is, you know, we're all on this show remotely, and just to give your listeners, an idea of what we're looking at, we got these little sound waves in front of us and under each people's name. And if anybody has seen a bottle of blackened whiskey, they'll see the word blackened in white, and behind it is a black sound wave. Looks very similar to what we're viewing on our screens right now. And that black sound wave is James Hetfield singing the word blackened. So it's just kind of this cool.
What?
Yeah.
it's the actual sound wave. They took the sound wave and made it, you know, larger, but it's, so it's just kind of cool. Those little subtle details, you know, like I was just realized I'm looking right at the sound waves. I was like, oh, look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if our show can sonically enhance a barrel of whiskey.
Yeah.
Well,
you never know.
You and Greg, your baritone voices could probably get it done. Well, Rob, it's really great to talk to you. I would encourage our listeners to go follow you on Instagram at Blackened American Whiskey. Go check out the Facebook at the same Blackened American Whiskey, and then hit up the website, blackenedamericanwhiskey.com, to pick up some merch that will help out some charities right now, and also just to get yourself some great products and some good whiskey, yeah. Right?
And also, it's Whiskey Rob on Instagram, correct?
Correct. Yep. Whiskey Rob. Yeah, so
follow him there, too.
Whiskey with an E.
Whiskey with an E.
Yeah.
Totally.
American
man, Rob, it's great having you on the show today. I miss you, man. Like hang out with you. I don't know, like we've got like Bar Combat Brooklyn coming up and Tales of the Cocktail, which, you know, I we're not going to be able to see each other there. So it's hurting me, hurting my feelings right now, but it's great having you on the show. Anyway, if that's all we can do right now, I feel like I'm very privileged to do that. Yeah, exactly. Well, cool.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm enjoying some right now. At, you know, noon in California.
Yeah,
some here whiskey.
Perfect.
It's really cool,
I got,
man.
I got a little jam here as well.
Yeah, very cool. Well, cheers to you, man.
Yeah, cheers, brother.
Yeah, man, it's been, like, on a personal note, you know, like, as friends, it's been really cool, like, watching your career unfold. You know, I went to Stranahan's and hung out with you there in Denver. Yep. And, you know, been to all the Whiskey Fest with you and everything. And just, like, you gave me a call, like, right when you joined Blacken, and I was just like, God damn, this is the coolest guy in the world.
So, dude, like, that's just really great, man.
Cool. It's really great to see how things have played out, man. I love the whiskey, and it's really cool, man. And I can't wait to check out the box set, man. I'm a vinyl collector too, so like that's I'm really excited to grab that, and I'm probably I'm kind of like one of those whiskey nerds where like I'll keep the bottle sealed, but this one like I feel like it would do it wouldn't do it justice for all. To not open the bottle and listen to it, the music with the whiskey, you know? So I'll definitely crack that open when it comes in the mail.
Well, I had to get a couple. I mean, obviously I got to have one where I can play the records and drink the whiskey, but you know, I've got one that's going to be sealed and just, you know, kept away as a memento and, you know, but it kind of reminds me of that song. I can't remember the band and I'm sure you'll know who it is, but, the cover of the Rolling Stone. It's not quite the cover of the Rolling Stone, but you know, you got to buy 5 copies for your mother.
Right.
So I bought my parents, a box set as well, you know, so they've got one. They, as a matter of fact, I have their vinyl collection and their record player now. So I thought it was very ironic that I'm, you know, sending this out to them. And now that I have their record player,
they can't even play it. Oh man. Well, that's okay. That's like, I feel like your family is your living scrapbook. They can keep all the stuff and, you know, it'll always be around. So,
right.
That's
right.
Definitely, yeah. My mom has kept every article clipping from every cocktail feature I've done. And I'm just like, you know, that's all digital, right? It's all online. But, but the whiskey is not something you can enjoy from a website unless you order it there. And so, yeah, definitely encourage everyone to go to check out the new Batch 100 of Black and American Whiskey. And, man, it's been great to have you on the show today. Can't wait to catch up more with you soon. And I guess that's it for the Speakeasy for this episode. Check out heritageradionetwork.org for many other programs like this one. Till next time, we get to see each other. Rob, cheers.
Such a pleasure. Cheers.
Cheers, gents.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like. Tell your friends. And please, join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.